This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. I call the Joint Committee on Appropriations to order this morning. We've got a short meeting for another weather-interrupted original presentation from our research parks. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. And Madam Secretary, let's get started. Would you please call the roll?
Saba,
here.
Nessapa, Bartles, Gross,
here.
Howard, Koth,
here.
Peterson, Post,
here.
White,
here.
Sutton,
here.
Partridge is excused, Maher, Colbeck,
here.
Greenfield, Hunhoff, Cronin,
here.
Carr, and Wick.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Busy morning around the Capitol here today. We do have one of the pages in the room right now. Would you care to step up to a microphone, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, where you're going, if you know. There's the other page. So you can follow suit, too. We'd appreciate that. And my other question always is, how many kids in your high school class back home?
Hello, my name is Reese Huker. I am from Huron, South Dakota, and as of right now, my plans for after high school are attending Northern State University in the fall, and I plan on dual majoring in political science and education, and my class size back home is around 150.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Senator White, do you have a
personal privilege? Right from our local newspaper. It seems that Mr. Reese Huker just won the state debate and speech contest and is headed to Texas to represent our state. So I think we need to acknowledge the quality of page that we have here.
Well, congratulations. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Senator White. We're in the presence of greatness. Well, yeah. No pressure.
Well, it's going to be hard to follow that. Good morning, everybody. I'm Michael Garofalo out of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Plans for college, I plan to major in political science. However, my college choice is not made yet because I'm a junior. Even though it's getting close, so no pressure. My graduating class size is 41 this year.
Well, I think there's a couple people in the room that might be interested in speaking to you if you haven't made that decision yet. So, I've got a bill to pitch. We're going to move things over. Senator Cronin will serve as chair, but we do have a presentation from the research parks that was originally held over because of weather, and I want to make sure they get everything on the record. So, gentlemen, would you please come up and present? And Senator Cronin will serve as chair.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Senator Cronin. Senator Cronin, Rich Naser, representing the USD Discovery District in Sioux Falls.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Dwayne Chapel, representing the Research Park at SDSU in Brookings. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Great. Well, first, thank you very much for this opportunity to come back and give you an update. It was 3 years ago that the legislature voted to approve investing in South Dakota's research parks. So we wanted to give you an update on our innovation and research parks, what we're doing today and what we hope to accomplish in the future. So we really appreciate this opportunity. What we're really trying to do at the research parks is create new opportunities for South Dakotans. As Governor Noem has said, she's looking for the next big thing that'll impact and drive South Dakota's economy. And that's really what we're all about and what we're trying to accomplish. And how we do that is we're working together between the community of Brookings and the research park at SDSU, Ascent Innovation, and the USD Discovery District to connect up universities with the private sector to help grow our economy and create those job opportunities. We're focused on innovation-based businesses, and the reason for that is those are the businesses that create new industries that have high-paying career opportunities for South Dakotans. That's the sole purpose for focusing on innovation. And what we do is we link education, students, faculty, research resources with the private sector. It could be research collaborations. It could be hiring interns, all sorts of activities related to that for economic growth. So your investment in the universities and the technical schools, we try to connect up with private sector companies. And then it's all about creating a sense of place. We're trying to create communities of innovation where these companies reside and where these types of people and companies interact. So that's really what we're trying to accomplish. We're going to give an update on Ascent Innovation. Terry Haverly is the director of Ascent Innovation. She is not here today, so we'll do our best to give you an update on that as well, though. Ascent Innovation, the current facility, has a maximum occupancy of 23 tenants. They have 112 full-time employees, but even more exciting, they have 51 interns from the School of Mines connected with companies. So they're connecting up these really bright engineering and other students with private sector opportunities. And those companies in Ascent Innovation have an annual payroll of over $8 million a year today. So the average wage is $74,000 a year, which is significantly higher than South Dakota's average annual wage. And in 2018, that group rebranded as Ascent with a full-time focus of an employee on those activities. Ascent is more than just a building. They're looking to create a second building and an innovation district that links the School of Mines campus to the downtown. And this is really what they are doing around the country in universities that have that opportunity. So that first new facility will be 40,000 square feet. And again, we'll create that linkage and focus on entrepreneurship and commercialization and tech transfer of School of Mines technologies. And they're going to develop centers of excellence by partnering, creating STEM partnerships. And there's great opportunities with Rapid City, with the military presence there and federal presence there to create those types of opportunities.
So currently the investment from the partnership for the Ascent Innovation Center has all been local from this community of Rapid City and through their economic development partnership. And so as you did for us, and we appreciate that much, invested $100,000 in each of us when we started. We support your investment of $100,000 into Ascent Innovation going forward. As you can see, they've invested a lot, and some of these are going to be investments over a five-year period through the Economic Development Foundation. That's a five-year investment, so it'll come in over time. And they hired this past year a consultant that had completed some work for them that really walked them through how to create this innovation district in Rapid City. And with that, they then worked with the developer and have set forth a timeline here that outlines what they will accomplish over the next year and a half. So they'll be ready to pretty much rock and roll in the summer of 2020. So they're excited about that, and we support what they're doing out there as a part of what we're doing in each of our research parks as well.
The USD Discovery District just announced its first two projects. These are very long-term endeavors, and we incorporated in end of 2012, did a master plan. We're an 80-acre innovation community, and we lease our land from the South Dakota Board of Regents. And this spring, we announced our first project, and this fall, we held a groundbreaking ceremony, and that's for the first two buildings, and I think they give an example of the types of things we're trying to accomplish. One of the buildings is a therapeutic manufacturing facility. It'll be a 42,000 square foot building, costs about $4 million for the core and shell, and will be occupied by SAB Biotherapeutics. And that's a company that's been in South Dakota since 2002 in different organizational structures. And what they're doing is they're using cattle, genetically modifying them and producing therapeutics for human medical treatments. The interesting thing about this building, it's a $4 million shell, but it's somewhere between a $30 and $50 million initial investment in equipment that is on top of the building. The second building that we had a groundbreaking ceremony for is an 84,000 square foot multi-tenant research facility. And that, again, will house some of SAB's R&D activities as well as Allumand's. That facility is about $27.9 million, including equipment. And, again, it'll allow SAB to bring their products to market, but also Allumand. And Allumand is another great innovation story for South Dakota. They came out of the original 2010 research center, one of the original 2010 research centers started by Governor Rounds, the Center for Light-Activated Materials Research. And they are commercializing a product that will treat peripheral artery disease. So both of our first two tenants are companies with strong South Dakota ties, but that are creating markets that will have a global impact. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Just real quick, I have a couple of questions. Does anybody else have a question at this point?
Absolutely.
Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have my own definition of innovation-based business, but I'd like to hear you give me kind of the nickel version that, in essence, I could share with constituents and others who have no familiarity with this. What is an innovation-based business?
From our perspective, it's taking generally it's intellectual property or some unique process, and then commercializing that and bringing a product or service to market. Dwayne?
Yeah, and I would just add on to what Mr. Nazer said, we also look at taking technology and research that is coming out of the university specifically that maybe the faculty didn't understand that it could be an innovative process and try to get with them in early in their research to ask them questions, how will this better the application for something in the worldwide market. So can we take this research you're working on, turn that into a technology, an innovative technology to build on something, and not just focus on research for the sake of research, which is important, but also to, you know, provide commercialized opportunities.
Thank you.
Representative Seba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke with you both right before the testimony started, mentioning that my daughter works at Research Park in the Research Triangle in North Carolina, and they're doing incredible stuff there, as we all know it. I mean, they're the poster child in this. What my concern is what is unique about what we're doing in South Dakota? What is different? Because so many people now, so many states have copied that Research Triangle idea. But what makes us unique? Why would people come to us? What do we do differently?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Yep. We have developed a shared bioscience strategy as one aspect that makes us, we believe, unique between the Research Park at SDSU and the USD Discovery District, and specifically targeting opportunities in the Discovery District that focus on the intersection of agriculture and the applications for human health. And we believe we have a unique capacity to do that with some of the companies that I've mentioned, other companies that we're talking to. So it marries up our agricultural strengths in South Dakota, which we all are very aware of, and then ties that into our healthcare and research activities. So one of the targets we've identified is that for the Discovery District, we're very interested in developing additional strategies, leveraging again off of our educational and other assets and tying them up with other industry sectors that are very successful, for example, financial innovation. But it has to be a combination of unique strengths of the state, university, and the communities that they're in. But you're right, you can't be a generic research park.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, add on to that. We do have a unique situation in South Dakota as our research triangle spans between Sioux Falls, Brookings, Rapid City to Sioux Falls, just a little bit larger than 7,000 acres that they have in North Carolina. Also, the important thing that we're working on, if you've been to one research park You've been to one research park. And that's the uniqueness of what we're trying to accomplish. What Brookings works on and focuses on at the SDSU Research Park, although there are some crossover opportunities, is significantly different than what USD Discovery District is focused on. But there are opportunities for us to collaborate on a lot of things. And one of the goals we do have is to recruit that company that would like to land and utilize the knowledge from the faculty and students from SDSU and also have a presence at USD Discovery District as well as Accent. Then there are companies that would fit into that that we will try to recruit.
Paul? We have a follow-up question. And when you're deciding on and when you're recruiting new businesses and new entities that come in, and I like very much the idea of you're looking at making money out of this for us. That's great. But how much of it is of your orientation is towards what can help South Dakota in terms of specific developments, research developments, versus what's just saleable out there to anyone because it's a new process and makes a difference.
Mr. Chair. I'll answer. Start off. So what's unique about what we're trying to accomplish, Rich mentioned our collaborative efforts on the bioscience. That's very focused effort by the state of South Dakota. And when you have ag as your number one industry, that fits nicely into that. There's a lot of biomedical things that we can work on that are focused from the faculty and the university side of things that fit into, you know, human and animal cross intersections. And with the focus of two engineering schools in South Dakota. We just recently completed a strategic plan for the College of Engineering at SDSU, and from that we were able to map out key faculty that actually want to work with industry, and so we've developed and worked with a software package that allows us to go out and find certain industry sectors and niches for these faculty. So it's a very lack for a different term, sophisticated way of recruiting. We're not just throwing a dart at the dartboard anymore as some general type of economic development focus. It's very focused on the assets and talents that we have and how can we keep those assets and talents in South Dakota. With SDSU, you know, bringing in 2,000 freshmen every year, 500 of those are usually done by the end of the first year. How can we keep those in Brookings already? And when we're graduating, you know, thousands of students on an annual basis, how can we keep those students in South Dakota?
Thank you. Any other questions? I'll get real quick to mine. They're more mechanical. You're leasing land from the Board of Regents. Who owns the building?
I'll answer for the Discovery District. For our first 80 acres, we anticipate 26 buildings, and those will be privately developed buildings. So those buildings are not owned by the nonprofit. We lease the land to a developer. The developer then leases the buildings to the tenants. There is a scenario, too, where the company just comes in and owns their own buildings, but they're all privately owned buildings that generate new tax revenue, new property tax revenue.
Okay. So no M&R from the state.
That's no, right. These are not state-owned or state-managed buildings in the Discovery District.
No, and as we, I apologize. Okay. As we move forward, you'll find in the presentation we call out the fact that the leased land has been, you know, under. You know, we're leasing from the Board of Regents, and buildings on campuses are not paying taxes. So when we're bringing new companies in, real estate taxes are being generated and new jobs. And so that makes it very unique as well.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you go on to the presentation. I got another question for you when we get down the road. So,
Thank you, Mr. Thank Chairman, and certainly open to more questions throughout the presentation. This slide shows the current infrastructure investment in the Discovery District, about $3.755 million. Later I'll show you the total investment that will be required in infrastructure, being streets, sidewalks, parking lots. The majority of that has come locally, although we did receive initial funding through a general fund appropriation in 2014, which was expended on our initial streets. streets. So the funding comes from the city, the Ford Sioux Falls, city, Ford Sioux Falls, the University of South Dakota, but not through general fund appropriations. Through the general fund appropriation for that, and the $755,000 is an EDA federal grant. On the ongoing dollars, again, a partnership, which we believe is unique strength of what we're doing, $100,000 general fund appropriation through the Board of Regents, $150,000 from the City of Sioux Falls ongoing, $150,000 from Forward Sioux Falls, which is our business community, and then $150,000 from USD there through grant indirect dollars. So these are dollars that they generate from their research that they've chosen to reinvest in the Discovery District. They don't come out of the general fund. Sorry for the slide chopping off here on the bottom. This is all about economic development and economic impact. Again, leveraging and connecting our students and our talent with these opportunities so they don't leave. We believe this is a 25-year development horizon. You can see the number of buildings and the cost. There's about $20.4 million, $12 million in roads, $8.4 million in other infrastructure that we believe we will fund locally is our anticipation. You can see the construction taxes, the annual property taxes, but the real payoff here for South Dakota is 2,800 jobs in the future. And these are 2,800 jobs. We use the number of the biotech industry. Their average salary today is just over $61,000 a year, which is significantly higher than the state's average annual salary. So that ends my portion, I guess, for the Discovery District. We appreciate the current support we're getting. We would certainly be interested. Oh, sorry. Next slide. I guess it did not end. I'm a little nervous. I apologize.
Sorry.
We would appreciate additional support and could certainly use additional support. And this is what an additional $200,000 a year would allow us to do, to fully implement our strategy to connect the university students, faculty, and resources with these companies. To implement the shared bioscience strategy, we've identified 40 events and over 100 companies that we jointly want to work to try to build relationships with. We need to design our next phases of infrastructure. As I said, we've got $20 million total to do in that area, and then we really just need the team to be able to do this to date. But that is the end of my portion of the presentation.
Well, if you were nervous, you didn't show it until you said it. Now we're going to pounce. No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the Discovery District? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the good work you're doing. And it's sort of a follow-up by Representative Gross. You know, part of this is you're wanting the support and you want to do this. We represent the citizens of South Dakota, but how much do the citizens of South Dakota know what you're doing in your research parks?
We are probably a well-kept secret at this point, and we're at least with the Discovery District, we're very at the very early stages, but we have been working to raise that awareness. I think we've had a lot of media coverage in the last year with our first projects, and before that for the Discovery District, we were really just in the planning stages. So with our first projects, I believe we'll become more visible. But we need to continue to communicate that. We need to make sure especially that the students know that we're creating these types of opportunities for them because they're really the beneficiaries of this over the long term.
Paula?
Well, thank you. And I'll be honest with you. Where I read about you is the Argus Leader. So if I get the Argus Leader, that's where I see. And I guess I'm raising the question because we have to go back to our taxpayers. And I think you're doing great things. And universities, I have a private college in my community. Those students could be graduate students. They could get in there. So that's where I'm trying to, how we can build this, that, yes, it is state-funded and that, but we cannot neglect our private colleges and how you get into there and your local communities, and Yankton being a great example. I mean, we're energetic, but if I walk down the street and or somebody comes into my establishment and I said, what do you know about the research park? I'm sure that person will look at me like, what are you talking about? So that's just a suggestion because I think the great things you are doing are hidden, but yep, they're providing an economic stability, economic ability for our state. So just expand out a little bit and start targeting some groups. And I don't want to forget the privates out there because they're valuable graduate students for our programs.
Mr. Chairman, I just would comment that I completely agree. And we probably have focused more on our local market to date. We do have some good relationships between some of our programs in Augustana University, as an example. But just point well taken, and we would look to do that and expand our outreach as part of this.
Mr. Chairman, so, you know, we've just celebrated our 10-year anniversary at the Research Park at SDSU and have graduated a lot of probably 10, 11 companies. A lot of landed in Sioux Falls, some in Huron, one in Madison. So we're, you know, it's a regional approach to economic development. And to your point, I've not reached out to Vermilion Yankton that far or north to Aberdeen, but we've worked with folks in Watertown, Marshall, Minnesota, across the state line. And so just, you know, within a you know, at least a 50-mile to 60-mile radius, we're slowly getting the word out. And we don't focus on an active marketing plan. We focus on results-oriented and working with faculty. And I appreciate the suggestion because we do need to be better at telling our story so that it just makes perfect sense to do that. So thank you.
Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to back up to your leases a little bit and maybe get you to expand on that and the issue of how you're handling private structures being built on public land. And I'll tell you where I'm coming from. We've had some less than perfect experience in game fishing parks where we've had some private facilities built on public land. And in essence, when it's time for the lease to be done or a change of tenant, the state is kind of held hostage. Senator White can expand in more detail on at least one situation in that respect. And my philosophy is that the best time to address the exit philosophy is when you're entering it. So tell me a little more about the terms of these leases and, you know, the potential exit philosophy. I hope all these things turn out, but even if they turn out, some tenants may want to change to a different tenant, that sort of thing.
So,
open-ended question. I apologize for that part of it.
Mr. Chairman, so at the Research Park at SDSU, we just recently, in the past 2 years, renegotiated our land lease with the Board of Regents in the state of South Dakota, a 99-year lease, but every 10 years we revisit that 99-year lease to discuss if we want to, you know, make any changes, modifications, and at that time we can also extend it. There is a clause built into it that we will extend the 99-year lease towards the last, after 89 years. But as on the private sector side, the Lloyd Companies does have a building in our park out of Sioux Falls, and we entered into a 99-year lease with them. But we will be restructuring that to a 50-year lease. And going forward, we'll set up a series of 50-year leases with strategies, to your point, discussed on day one. How do we exit out of that? We also have in our leases that, for example, the Lloyd Companies cannot sell their building without approval from the SDSU Growth Partnership, which is the organization, the nonprofit that manages the research park. And we do that specifically so we can maintain our mission and keep focused on what we're trying to accomplish from that standpoint.
Any other questions? Okay. Go ahead.
So I'll start off with a pretty picture here. We just finished up a exercise with a architectural design group, and we are in the process of working with a new master developer, and in the center of the picture, you'll see an L-shaped building, and that's our current facility. We are in the process of negotiating to the left of that building a 70,000 square foot lab research facility, and we do have at least five tenants we're working with right now. One is located in Brookings that has been in business for over 10 years. The other two are pure startups that came out of SDSU research that started in the lab and then came over to the park, and we are also helping them raise money and find investors to push those businesses forward. And so we're excited about this new process. The new building is estimated at $18 to $20 million, and the reason for the high cost on the buildings, these are not, you know, $200 square foot buildings, they're lab spaces, and so sometimes it's $600 a square foot. And so when we're working with our master developer, we also have to develop a risk factor in there as well on how to help displace the risk so that we can attract these developers to help build in our parks. And so our ongoing investments and initial investments, the City of Brookings set up $6.5 million. Five of that was in infrastructure build-out, and then some additional dollars for fiber and power. And the county, Brookings County has invested $850,000. And then Vision Brookings, which is similar to Forward Sioux Falls, has invested $2.5. We did receive a $3.5 million EDA grant as well to build out a $25 million park. Our ongoing partnership provides us $150 from the city, $65 from the county, and $120 from Vision Brookings, as well as the $100 from the appropriations through the Board of Regents. And so we appreciate that. And by being here today, we are looking to ask for additional funding investment to create some more opportunities, which I can talk about here. We currently have 110,000 square feet. Each building is valued at $17 million. 245 people work in the research park. 5 years ago, we had less than 150 working in the research park. So it's been a huge jump in people working in the park. There's over 40 plus businesses there. Like I mentioned earlier, in the past 5 years, we've graduated 11 to 12 businesses. We've the annual payroll for the park now is $12 million. So that's a huge economic ongoing impact. Just most recently, I mentioned the strategic plan we worked on with the College of Engineering. Out of that strategic plan that we completed in March, we're working with seven startups, seven faculty, all out of engineering. We've helped those collectively, those three or seven companies, with almost $1 million of grant money that we've helped them raise, as well as ongoing angel fund dollars and some VC money. So we're, as a research park director, president, you wear many, many hats. One day you're helping somebody raise money. One day you're trying to help them find a lab tech. You're just doing all these different things, and you're still out trying to recruit other companies. Many of you have heard of the announcement that former Senator Olson had in the good community of Madison, where I used to work, with True Shrimp. And we have had ongoing negotiations with True Shrimp for a couple years to take up lab space in the research park. We're not there yet, but, you know, that's a big win for the entire state, and that's regional economic development. And so that's how we jump into the fold there. You know, just a couple things. There's 32 opportunities for buildings at the park. Over 1 million square feet will be under roof when completed. The key here is $5.27 million in new real estate taxes. And so that's huge over the lifetime of the park. And as I mentioned, the purpose of the additional funds that we'll use it for, we would like to start an early stage fund to help these startups, you know, with $2,000 to $3,000. That then allows them to apply for the proof of concept dollars through the Governor's Office of Economic Development. We recently kicked off a $1.3 million angel fund, which we just made our first investment into an IT company that we've invested $100,000 into. And I mentioned the recruitment software. It's a very powerful piece of software that we can pick and choose who we're wanting to target. To get to your earlier question, we can type in the word mechanical engineers, alumni, SDSU. I came up with 100 individuals that hold president or CEO positions throughout the United States. And those are all alum, and we can visit with those alum and talk to them about specific things and how can SDSU help them in their business. And so that is one of our strategies.
This is the last slide in our presentation. But what we're really trying to do is, again, leverage South Dakota's investments in the universities and technical institutes. So the state has played a key role in driving those organizations, creating that talent. And what we're trying to do is develop and recruit innovation-focused companies so those students have those opportunities right here in South Dakota instead of leaving. That's really what this is all about. And then we believe that we disproportionately increase the property tax base as well as potentially grow state product. Again, we're all taking assets that are not taxed today and doing private development on top of those that will be subject to all state taxes. And the types of opportunities we're going after, and again, this is a number that this group may know better than I. The last number I could find was that gross state product for South Dakota was somewhere around $50 billion. Just the opportunity SAB for their flu therapeutic is over $1 billion opportunity, where they would sell $1 billion worth of product a year. So those are the types of opportunities that we're trying to pursue, that and the impact that they could have on the state of South Dakota. So
one of the companies we started working with in the spring and summer of 2012 when I first came on was Novita, and a gentleman by the name of Don Endres started that company. When they came into the research park, I'm really excited about this company because that was my first true recruitment, and so it's been a lot of fun. They started with 3 employees in the park, and we helped incentivize that company. And he's even quoted saying that they wouldn't be where they are today without the assistance of the research park, what we helped them with programming and incentives to help that company get off its feet. You know, they recently opened in the summer of 2017 a $95 million production facility with over 50 employees. That's what this is all about, and that's maybe where we do get a little bit of a press, because I know when we went to the ribbon cutting, he called out the research park multiple times for us, and that's where your investment, your $100,000 initially, Governor Rounds, initially put $100,000 into the research park for us to do a feasibility study. He later invested $500,000 into our first portion of our building. Governor Dugard invested $500,000. That $1.1 million, along with your $100,000 to, that you've invested, $1.3, we have turned that into almost $170 million of capital expenditures in the state of South Dakota in the past 5 years. So that's huge. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And again, I can't emphasize the importance that it's regional and collaborative, and that's why Rich and I are here together today. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Questions? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you. Can you just describe what Reed Network means to the research parks?
Internet? Yeah. So that'll be huge for us because as we focus more and more on the science side of things, it will speed up the internet process. And right now there's Internet 2 located in the research park. And so that will also speed that up so that, these different organizations can access and push data quicker.
Paul?
There's discussion about the upgrade, so that's why I'm asking, What's the impact for the research park if and when we can get this done? Yeah. That's my rule.
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. And I would say that the ability to move large files and access large amounts of data is only going to become more and more critical, specifically for the Discovery District. A lot of this is big data and data analytics as it relates to genetics. So those are huge, huge. I'm sorry, I don't know the number of gigabits or terabits that each one of those profiles is of someone for a whole genome sequencing, but that number is only going to go up exponentially. And certainly those are the types of companies that we're working to attract and the type of research we're working to attract.
Any other questions? I got one more. I remember when this started, and I remember a little company called Pillsbury and their oats project. Can you give me an update on how that's going? Because we, in Potter County, we plant a lot of oats. because of this project, and we're thankful for that. And I just want to have you expound on that a little bit.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So when we first started sitting down with General Mills and talking about how we can work with them, it actually was led by then Dean Dunn and his team. And we were, you know, SDSU was in the process of eliminating their oats people. And there was just a brief conversation at a conference one day with Dr. Scholl, now the VP of research, and said, hey, you know, we'll keep our oats guy if you guys want to come work with us. And it really turned out well. That, I mean, I wasn't there at the, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I'm making that part up. But, you know, it was, you know, just one conversation during a break of a conference, and that's how this works. And now our General Mills went from one employee to, I believe they're at four full-time employees at SDSU now, in two at the research park and two on campus. They are expanded their research facilities to take up the seed tech lab, basically a new building on campus. We are recently in conversations with them of what's next and how can they expand their presence at SDSU into dairy science. Yoplait is big for them as well, one of their big products. And you're right, I believe they're overseeing some research and overlooking over 30,000 acres of oat production. And just had a conversation I'd visit with General Mills at least weekly. The one employee in Brookings actually is developing a beer, an oats-based beer, and we served it at three of our functions and, you know, did beta testing for them. You know, of course, it's easy to get people to say they like beer, but especially if they get two or three. But, you know, our goal is to help him turn that into a brewery. And so you just never know where these things are going to lead. And that's the fun thing about research-based economic development. That's what. So thank you for the question.
All right. Are there any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other public testimony on the research park? Doesn't matter.
Very briefly, Mr.
Not
Chairman.
Not fair. You'll never be to the right of me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do have a green piece of equipment. It's a pull behind mower, but put a new wheel on it, runs like new. So, Frank Klocek, Scotland, 22 years in legislature. About 20 years ago, we went up, was going up to a CHS convention, and another person and I went and toured the research park in Minnesota. We also went to GSC and Midwest Legislative Conference, and they had themes with research parks from throughout the United States. And my one challenge to you is to go to those MSG and CSG's meetings and don't just go and go out and tour the towns. Go to the meetings. And I know most of you here in South Dakota don't, but some just skip out. But anyway, these are the kinds of programs that are fraught from that. We came forward with the governor before Governor Rounds with some legislation on these parks. And of course, it didn't go anywhere at the time, but you keep pushing, you keep pushing, eventually it happens. Representative Hunoff was invited. We took 13 people. We tried to get a bus, but we couldn't get it. We invited all the legislators. We toured the park at SDSU a few years ago. We saw the fish and some plastic, and I know they were just starting the oats, I think, at the time, about 5 years ago or whatever, and we were on a mission to do some economic development. And to be impressed was an understatement. It was absolutely fantastic. What they're doing is on the cutting edge, and it will bring long-term and good economic development to the state, and it has already, and I can't speak highly enough of it. The only thing that I would ask, of course, I hate to say Sioux Falls gets everything, but if it would be at a little town called Tabor, the one going to Sioux Falls west of Yankton, might be a little better to spread it around a little, but I'm sure it'll be fine in Sioux Falls. But I just wanted to let you know that the idea has been pushed for many years, and I'm just real happy, and I personally saw the one at Brookings, and I would encourage each of you to take your time and they would make time for you, and maybe you could organize a legislative trip there. We're going to tour some other facilities in the area. It's well worth your time to do this, and what they're doing is just phenomenal, and I can't speak highly enough of the project that they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public testimony? All right. Seeing none, thank you all for sticking around for this. I appreciate whoever Frank's talking to back there. I go, appreciate you guys coming back out. I know the weather was tough that first time, and if there's nothing else before us, I would entertain any motion to move adjournment by Representative Howard, second by White. All those in favor? All those opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.